Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back, everybody. It's the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And we have with us for his, what, second appearance? Legion superfan, Trent Adams. Trent, how are you, brother?
I'm good. I'm missing my my Legion today because we've got so many Utah guys suiting up for the Eagles that I've put on the Utah jersey for the day.
Some would say treacherous. I don't know.
I put Audi Field in the background for everybody to get excited for this weekend.
I'm just saying, you don't see me putting on a Mitchell Free Jacks kit just because he's playing for the Eagles. I'm just saying.
I've always been okay with Utah, Houston, Seattle especially. That's the anti-team.
I got you. Well, but again, thank you so much for joining us, Rob. I'm not going to let you talk. Yeah, enough. Okay. You had the whole weekend, you were posting lives. First of all, your son Preston, the little Hammerschmidt, was there. Posted one picture of him in the booth, and 58 people commented like he does content for us like crazy. You know, the three times a year he fills in. It was the Preston Hammerschmidt fan club is just out of control, Rob.
Well, he's young. He's fresh. He's new. He's where it's at. So that's what happens when you're a 53-year-old man and you've got a 24-year-old child.
And I'm going to quote one of the comments. Finally, the booth has a Hammerschmidt with a face for television.
Yeah, right.
So right
My
there.
My friends are mean.
They really
you know who
are.
You are. All you guys, turncoats.
Love to hear it. But again, Trent, thanks for joining us. And guys, we're at episode 180. Almost close to 200, baby.
Yeah, inch and ever right closer. There.
You know, eventually. You know, we might actually hit 200 before USA Rugby gets a quarterfinals cup win. We might get there. That's a foreshadow of things we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true. I might guess we have a pretty good shot of hitting 200 before the end of the year.
No, definitely. But before we get into what we're going to talk about in the rant, let's hit our Around the Pitch. Trent, how about you start us off, buddy?
Yeah, so this might be coming out Friday, so some of you might already be ready to watch some of these games, but Friday is a day to be a USA Rugby fan. It kicks off in the morning with the under-20s competing in the Rugby World Cup trophy against Kenya for the final of their three pool matches. The U.S. is 2-0 after defeating both Netherlands and Uruguay. They take on Kenya, and if they win, they will be in the finals championship to determine who will advance out of the trophy to go and be in the U-20s championship in 2025. So very exciting, and kudos to everybody in the U-20s program, and best of luck to them on Friday. We follow that up with MLR Rising later in the morning, being played on near DC. A chance for all of the up-and-coming stars of MLR, everybody who's in the MLR Rising program, the 50 top players selected to participate in that are going to be putting on a match. And then that follows up with an early evening showdown between Scotland and USA Rugby, which I know we'll cover more later. But for those of you who like to partake in certain gambling opportunities, it looks like the line is somewhere between 47 and 49 favoring Scotland. So if you like that, find your find an opportunity there to potentially take advantage of that line, whichever way you see fit.
I don't know what I do with that line. That seems a little off to me, but you know, I guess Vegas knows better than me. But anyway, I'm going to shout out a couple of people. Shout out to Tim Brown, who's facilitating the MLR Rising down there with a lot of the facilities. Shout out to Mikey Brown, who's also facilitating by helping the players. And Tui Osborne and who else? Josh Wax Macy. Coaching? Josh Macy's coaching.
Josh Macy. Not to be confused with Tosh Macy. Which was posted on social media earlier this week.
Listen, if MLR doesn't Josh fuck up a social media post at least once a month, are they the MLR? It's like is that like
the
his
funny
version
thing
of-
though? Is it wasn't the first time it happened. I think that's what made it even funnier. Is somebody? It was posted when it was first announced that he was going to be one of the two coaches, and I think they put it up. His name was John Macy. Or something like that, and I corrected it, and somebody got their feathers ruffled or whatnot. So, and then it happened a second time this week, and I just had to laugh. I was thinking about blowing him shit and sending him a message, but you know he's got far bigger things to deal with this week than
Is this Macy's version of a Lead Tasso? You ever see that episode of Ted Lasso where he goes by the Lead Tasso and he's just an asshole of a coach?
I've never seen that episode. I should send him that message. He'd get a kick out of him, I'm sure.
But yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully I'm going to see Mikey during the match. Love me some Mikey Brown, and hopefully I'll see Tim Brown. I have a whole bunch of people reach out to me. Shout out to Bill Baker at Eagles Overseas.
Big shout out to Bill. He gave me two tickets to the last week's game. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. He gave me two tickets. We were able to use them. So big shout out to Bill Baker.
Sweet. Awesome. So speaking of Rob Hammerschmidt, Rob, what do you got for around the pitch?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's been a lot of information coming out this week that folks have interpreted as, you know, a new MLR team, kind of two things coming out. One of them is Vancouver Swans. Interestingly, I've gotten in touch with Patty O'Gorman, who's the head of the club, and he's going to be actually on the show joining me. We're going to talk a little bit about what they've got going on in BC. You know, you got to be careful there. I don't want to throw too much wind behind that sail that there's some kind of MLR effort. They have said on their website there's a desire to support an MLR team, but that's kind of regular, vague, or obtuse. Doesn't really suggest that they're necessarily going to start a club. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. We hope to get more information, provide you with that, with those kind of details later on, hopefully next week. But they're running a lot of rugby camps, rugby ready camps, they call them. There's four sessions coming up between July and August for 14 to 17 year olds, 3-day sessions, $150 Canadian for the players. And they're basically like a high performance camp, which is pretty cool. So they're just trying to grow the foundation of the game there, trying to get more people playing. So there's a foundation there, perhaps in the future down the road, something can be developed. So it's not quite clear that there's a team going to be developing there as much as I know that people are hoping there is. Let's not put too many eggs in that basket just yet, but we'll get more information. And then Coutts Stadium there in West Indianapolis, again, folks, you know, read into that. There's an MLR, they hope to support an MLR team. And that, I think that might be in the future, but let's not get too far ahead. I really think they want to create a facility, a rugby hub there in the Midwest, in which the Eagles can come and play. They've talked about hosting pool matches. But from some of my sources saying Lucas Oil will not be playing nice in that sandbox very well. But we'll see. Nevertheless, I think the facility has a lot of potential. It can be a hub for a lot of rugby in the Midwest, and Indiana and greater Indiana and Midwest area. So look forward to that.
Great. You know, I think for BC, you know, if they get a team, they should obviously be the BC Honkers, you know, the Honk. That area of Canada is obviously a hotbed of rugby. You have the national teams practicing there, which was a whole, you know, thing. Yeah, you know, it was a whole thing when it happened. And, you know, it's one of those things where we had talked about with us and the LaRouge guys, you know, finding something in the middle of the country, right? Because you have a lot of people from the East Coast who are having, you know, trouble in their families and this and the other thing. And I think that was a good segue into what you were talking about with this new stadium you're talking about in Indy. And that's not to say the Eagles should move there on a permanent basis or the Sevens should move there on a permanent basis, you know, but having that Midwest rugby stadium, you know, I think would be beneficial. And again, getting both coasts together to maybe do a little bit more training, you know?
And yeah, and the interesting thing is you could have hosted a Romania there, a game there, and the stands would have been filled. Plus, it's going to be one of four purpose-built stadiums in the United States, the others being Glendale and then Obits and then Sabercat Stadium. So really, it's going to be designed with rugby in mind, which is, I think, is a benefit to our rugby community, especially here in the Midwest.
You know, and go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's interesting on that too, like you're talking about having a purpose-built stadium for matches like a Romania, which would sell out, you know, at 8,000 people. If you think about what USA Soccer went through, where they originally were playing a lot of these matches like in major population hubs, and then started playing them in Columbus, where they built this ridiculous home fortress mentality. I think it'd be great to see USA Rugby do the same thing with a nice Midwestern setting like Indianapolis.
Right. It's funny you say that, because in actual fact, I remember going in like 95 or 96, going to see the women's national team, soccer national team, play at a high school that's like 15 minutes from me that probably seats 2,000 people. It was absolutely packed. It was a phenomenal game. But yeah, they played there. And then, you know, the rest is history. We know that the U.S. women's national team, soccer national team, can fill 60,000 seat stadium now. So I agree with you. I think it's a good direction to go.
Facts, not feelings, with Rob the Hammer Hammerstein. I think that's a new segment, baby. But no, I do agree, and I think some of those lower key types of matches, you know, you wanted a smaller stadium because you can fill them out and make it look good, and have that feeling of that fortress, like you said, Trent. So we'll see how both, you know, BC fares as far as whether or not they have a legit bid to make it to the MLR in the upcoming years. And we'll see how this new stadium in Indianapolis fares. I do think, again, it's a good middle location for East Coast to West Coast rugby fans to go and take a match that's not in San Diego or, you know, DC or, you know, wherever they're going to be. So I think it's a good compromise. So my around the pitch, it's a sucky topic to talk about. And to be quite honest, me and Rob had heard some rumblings through some friends that Sophie the Goody had suffered a knee injury, and she was taking part in the Olympics in Paris this year for the Canadian Sevens women's team. And unfortunately, her dreams are shattered. She tore her ACL a couple weeks ago when it was confirmed. And you know, we obviously don't like to say anything, especially about injury, until the things are confirmed, and it was confirmed by her and by Team Canada. I mean, she had a great year for the Saracens. You know, I'm a Saris fan. I watched the men's and the women's, so I got to watch a lot of Sophie this year. She had a couple hat tricks. You know, she was great. She led Canada to, win over New Zealand in May in 15s. It was a big deal. And she was pumped to be playing in the Olympics this year, and the Canadian women were looking really good. And it's just unfortunate that, the injury takes her out for her Olympic dream. So, guys, that's around the pitch. You know, we had good topics. I like that. A little bit of Canada, a little bit of the U.S., what's going on Friday. But what we really came here to talk about, the rant topic, is actually what came out last week, right before the Romania game, which is this plan for the USA Eagles and how what they want to accomplish when it comes to the 2031 World Cup that's going to be played here in the States. And that project is called Moonshot 2031. A Scott Lawrence joint, as they say. But before we get in depth to that, and I'll give you a little history and kind of how it links in, we're actually going to catch a word from our sponsors.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
Yeah, thank you very much to Rugby Now, Power Shop MLR. And I just want to take an opportunity to talk about this wonderful sponsor of ours for two reasons. Number one, all the city kits that are available are out right now, can be ordered, will be shipped. And I got mine within just a couple of days, so you can get yours before your favorite team plays in their quarterfinal in the MLR playoffs. The other thing I want to touch upon is, you know, while we're in the middle of or ending the MLR season, we're right in the middle club-wise in the seventh season. Let's not forget, folks, that now's the opportunity. If you are somebody that purchases kit for your club, here is an opportunity to get your club's kit now through Rugby Now. They've actually just landed a great partnership with Adidas, and they do a custom kit. There it is. You've got 14 different designs that you can work with. All kinds of different colors can be used, and you can put your sponsor's logos on there. You see the shoulder epaulets there. You can put that on there. You can take it off. You can take the Adidas logo, just have the three stripes. You can have Adidas, the traditional Adidas underneath it. And then you can do all kinds of things with your sponsors, like I said, but also your club's design and logo. So some great stuff happening there, and they have all kinds of kit that can be built out from shorts to socks to tops to bags, everything else. You could just be loaded up on Adidas kit. It looks absolutely wonderful. You're looking at about a 6 to 8 week customization process from your order being submitted to the point where it gets to your club's door. Check it out. Rugby Now does a terrific job, and they've done an amazing work to get this going, and they want to deliver a first-class product to your club. Now, unfortunately, women's designs, kit designs are still in the works, so we'll have to wait on that, but the men's designs are coming, but they want to service the women's clubs as well. It's just taking a little bit longer on their side. So at any rate, get your customization kit. All you got to do is go to rugbynow.com, go to the team kit area, put in your name and information. They'll get back to you ASAP about a design. So it's some great stuff. Thank you very much for Rugby Now, Shop MLR. And don't forget to get your Kappa City kits while they last.
Listen, MLR is crazy if they don't go with Adidas. I'm going to pull that graphic up again. If you this is almost what Anthem's colors are like, and any one of these kits would have been better than a lot of the kits that Kappa, they designed for Kappa. And that's not a knock on quality or anything, but I just feel like, just real quick, the polka dots in 14, I like the pinstripes in 6, I like the zigzags in 10, I like the half and half in 9. Like,
and by the way, the quarters is what the All Blacks are actually wearing for their training kit right now.
Nice.
So like you'll be able to see that on the field there if you're out in San Diego here.
And then nobody will bitch about the fucking logo anymore. I hear one more time about the Kappa logo, I'm going to punch somebody in their throat. But anyway, guys, we're ranting about Moonshot 2023. So again, this is the working the how USA Rugby is moving forward.
Scott.
Yeah, a vision for Scott Lawrence and USA Rugby. And the end goal is to win a quarterfinal at the 2031 World Cup, right? So to quote Scott Lawrence, just like JFK's audacious moonshot in 1962, winning a World Cup quarterfinal on home soil in 2031 demands the best of American rugby. Together, we will rise to the challenge. And for those that don't know, JFK in 62 said, by the end of the decade, we will land a man on the moon. And obviously we did. And just like our space program, USA Rugby and Scott Lawrence have broken it up into three parts. That would be Project Mercury, Project Gemini, and Project Apollo. And on the actual history side, Project Mercury was the project to have a man successfully go in outside of Earth's atmosphere and come back. Then Project Gemini was low Earth orbits to successfully have multiple people orbit the Earth and come back. And then obviously Project Apollo was our project to not only get to the moon, but to eventually land on the moon, ending with Apollo 11, right, in 69. So in how they've broken it up for Project Moonshot 2031 is Project Mercury was the 2023 season. It was big plays. Get the right tools, right values, love, work, energy, the right people with people who are in the full-time pathways, and the right vision. What did they want for that, you know, to create that vision, which is the 2031 quarterfinal? Then you move on to Project Gemini, and that is the years of 2024 to 2027. And let me just bring up lost my thing here. It's a nice website, but it's a little...
Yeah, just tell people where they can find that just in case they don't...
Oh, yeah, you can go to moonshot.rugby to take a look, but big plays, 2027 qualification, you know, core squad gaining reps ahead of the 2031 World Cup. Kind of know that's out. Grow the base, which is Anthem, develop and improve the competitive playing base with Anthem Rugby Carolina with USA eligible players, and then build the next generation, qualify for the U20 Junior World Championships and accelerate the 18 to 20 age group. You know, and then from 2028 to 2031 is the Apollo program. We're really going to get into trying to win that quarterfinal. So first, I'm going to start off with Hammer. My question to you to start this off is going to be what do you think overall about the guidelines and the goals they have laid out?
Well, I guess I'd say this, and I said it on social media. When have we ever seen a U.S. Eagle head coach, men's or women's, describe and outline a vision and a plan for how to get there? Never. It's always been about winning the next one, right? Winning the next test match. And I think people got to stay focused on that. There was a lot of criticism of the team after the Romania game because of the loss. And I get the frustration, but I don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater. It was a blip in the radar. I think we've got to start to take a look at this. Every fan of the U.S. Eagles has to take a look at this website, has to look at those benchmarks, and has to start evaluating Scott on those benchmarks, not necessarily on, you know, one result. I'm a big fan, and I've told my athletes this on numerous occasions. Richie McCaw was famous for having, when he was a young lad, written something down, written his goals down, and he taped them up on his bed. And he came up with a theme. It basically is, if it's not written, it's not real. And that's what I love about this. It's written. It's a document. It's something that he's putting out there for everybody to see and for him to be evaluated against. He is not afraid of failure because fear of failure means, you know, basically killing a dream. And this is our dream as the USA Rugby community. We've got to dream big. We've got to dream bold. And we've got to work on this together. And I think Scott has invited, and he's said as much on our podcast on several occasions, he wants all people to take part in this mission and in this plan and these missions that he set up. So, you know, let's get behind him. You know, he has a vision, something we've never seen before. And as audacious and as big and as bold as it is, let's go for it. Why the hell not? What have we got to lose? Have we gotten any better results over the last World Cups that we've been in? No. So what the hell are we afraid of doing? Let's take this big swing. Let's take this big shot. Let's support this dream. Let's support this vision. If dreams were easy, everybody would accomplish them. They're not easy. It's a lot of hard work. But let's make that hard work yield something.
I hear it, Trent. Same question to you. What do you think of the points that they, that Scott Lawrence and USA Rugby laid out? What do you think of the overall goal?
First off, tremendous amount of respect for Scott Lawrence for the same reasons that, that Rob just mentioned, which is you can't get to your destination without knowing where you want to go. And too often where we've wanted to go is the next match. And so now we have somebody who sat down and said, here is my blueprint to get us to this goal that we want to get to. And to be honest, it's a very, very high aspirational goal for USA Rugby, but it's also one that we have a long time to build towards. And he's laid out very specific things towards that. Where I think Scott has just done a tremendous job is his approach to not just the Eagles, but this U20 group. There's a U23 group, I believe, that was just touring over to France. The U18s right now are down in South America playing. I think what he's doing to build a interstate to age grade all the way up to the Eagles is exactly what has been needed for a long time. So I give him tremendous credit for what he's doing. Now I'm going to come with the caveat on that, which is for this roadmap, he chose to start in the first step of that road, a 31-year-old prop, a 34-year-old hooker, and a 32-year-old prop. And we lost that match. When you have a fan like me who sits on the sidelines and loves to play armchair quarterback, I'm going to look at that and say, how are those guys going to get us to winning a quarterfinal in 2031? And I struggle to see that. And I struggle with some of the selections he made because they're not the guys that are going to be there in 2031, or at least I certainly hope not. I love Dylan Fawcett to death, but if he's still around at age 41 as our starting hooker, that's going to make me very concerned. That said, nothing but kudos to everybody in USA Rugby who has created this roadmap. And I'm excited to see us build on the progress and ideally have some more successful results in the short term, which is going to be needed to make sure that we don't derail the long term. Because let's be honest, Scott Lawrence won't be the coach if we continue to have losses like we had to Romania.
Well, and I think that goes to the point of your questioning selections. Because I don't think the age of the front row had anything to do with the fact that Romania beat us. I mean, there was a couple things going on that match that, you know, didn't help us to begin with. The simple fact that they pretty much only had a captain's run before they went out on that pitch to play. Also, even if you took a kid, let's say, from the U20 team right now, the starting hooker, he'd be 27 by the time 2031 comes around. And, you know, that's still, you know, not young, but not old, you know. So, I mean, having a 31-year-old hooker right now against a team in Romania on home soil here in the U.S., I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think you're going to start to see some of those players transition out in the next year. But gearing up to a World Cup we're not in, I don't think that's a big deal, especially since what we've seen in the past is you take all these young kids and they get blown out by 70 points, and I think they kind of lose – some of that twinkle in their eye.
Well, and Scott, I think that's the point of bringing these guys in was the fact that they're establishing how he wants to play, the intensity, the energy, the intent, you know, the leadership. And so he's keeping the guys that he believes can lay that foundation for the future. And on those younger guys coming up, you know, don't forget he's getting a guy like Sam Gala in there who is a young guy right now. He's bringing Connor Mooneyham in there. He's bringing these other young guys. But they're going to establish the culture that he wants to build upon. And I think that's a big reason because, you know, I asked myself some of those same questions and I reached out to those people that I know that are close to Scott. And that was kind of the message that was reiterated is bring these guys in. You know, look at a guy, look at Augsburg. I mean, I think Nate is 31, right? I mean, you know, he's in that 30 range. He's not going to be there by 20, probably not by 2027, certainly not by 2031. But look at the way he played. It's hard not to look at the way he played on that Friday night and say that he played nothing short of heroic in my mind, just threw his body around that, all around that pitch. And that's what that leadership brings to me.
But you want to talk about, and I'll send this back to Trent because I have a question. So you look at the Eagles roster for Romania and you look and you see Caleb Geiger was rostered. Caleb Geiger was not used. Why in the world was Caleb, what was Paul Mullen on for a full 80 minutes? And no shade to Paul. I love him. He brought the intensity. You know, it's funny because I feel like some of the previous matches, you know, I like the fact that he wants to slap an opponent in the face across from the scrum and not get caught. And he hadn't been bringing that. And I felt in Romania, he brought that. But let's be honest. Should he be playing 80 minutes? No. And you want to bleed a guy like Caleb Geiger who can come in and make the big hit. So my question to you, Trent, is why have a guy like Caleb Geiger who has shown potential and not put him in that game against Romania?
Well, a couple things. Granted, he's a prop, but Caleb Geiger is 28. So it's not like we're talking about somebody that's 23, 24. So, I mean, we are talking about somebody who is a little older. And I think, you know, what you're saying, granted, props season themselves in the early 30s. But I think what the concern is this long-term vision that Scott's laying out. And I if what Rob's saying is, in fact, the case, which was this is a cultural decision that was decided. And you look, for example, there's some great stats for those of you who haven't played around in the Project Moonshot website. There's some great stats talking about energy and how some of those things have been measured. And Jake Turnbull, for example, is at some of the top in some of those statistical categories. So if the idea is putting forth players that hit these certain metrics and trying to motivate the younger players to hit these metrics in order to be a starter for the Eagles, then it absolutely makes sense. I think what the concern is that when we put players out there that are going 80 minutes like Paul Mullen or going, I think Turnbull went like 72 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're seeing these guys go out there and that yet they're going backwards in the scrum. They're not able to have that impact that you'd like to see them.
And he went 76 minutes.
Yep.
So why not make that change? Why are we putting these guys out there? And a 78th minute Paul Mullen, I don't think is better than a fresh Caleb Geiger. He might be on par with him, but why not give Caleb Geiger at 28 that chance when we know what Paul Mullen is? He's an established quantity. And I think really for me, I'm not looking at the next two matches as this is the litmus test of USA Rugby. I'm looking at the PNC. To me, the PNC is really the be all end all. They've got camp time going into it. They've got a good prep schedule running into it. And that's where we can really measure them against the remainder of really teams that are in our same echelon in terms of the Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, Japan, albeit all better than us. It gives us a chance to measure. But that being said, if we went backwards if we were on roller skates in the scrum against Romania, it makes me nervous for what that selection is going to look like in terms of when we get to the PNC, where I feel like that's where we're really going to measure this team and to start to have a good idea of what sort of future we're looking at here for the next 2 years, which is frankly the next step in this process is Rugby World Cup qualification, which happens during the 2025 PNC.
And the reason I bring up Caleb Geiger is because while he hasn't been playing the game long, he's been in pro style, very professional strength and conditioning setups since he was in high school. And, you know, the story I love to tell is when he first came to Rooney, they did a weightlifting session with the forwards and he went on all the, and he went and did all the lifts last. He added two plates to both sides of the bar on every lift. And one of the Rooney props went, "I'm out of a fucking job next year." And my point being is I know his age, he's older, but what I think we're still kind of stuck in the transition where like guys, it's almost like a semi-pro mindset and Scott Lawrence is trying to change that. Right. And you can change it a couple ways. And one of the things we know he's trying to change is the cohesion by having proper, camps. But also I think, you know, some guys are older and can't do some of the things as far as those metrics are concerned. And I truly believe Caleb Geiger is one of those guys that can do the metrics. He might not be the best in technique in the scrum. The dude's a Division II football player that played fucking, you know, defensive end and linebacker and can tackle a guy. You know, you don't have to worry
and
about
he hung in there against Georgia.
Yeah.
He hung in there against a Georgia scrum, that's one amazing scrum they've got over there. And he hung in there last summer against those guys in those Rugby World Cup.
And he's a banger.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things I would have liked to talk to Scott about. And I saw him after the game and passed by him, but given the result, I could see in his body language, he was not happy with the result. I didn't want to bother him with that, but that would be one of my questions is, you know, why you have, you know, in this day and age where props are, you know, maybe putting in a 50 to 55 minute shift, you know, even in the MLR, you know, certainly in international matches. I mean, the Springboks, you know, they come at you with, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8, you know, full forwards. Why we're not changing out that front row there at about 50, you know, 50 to 55 minutes. I'd just be interested in that. Now we'll talk about the upcoming lineup for Scotland here a little bit later, but I think some of our answers might be founded in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so real quick, going back to the moonshot, you were talking about metrics. There's a whole thing on you mentioned the work energy, and you can break it down by position and nation. And it's a lot of, it's all the guys, it's all MLR stats pretty much, but it's including international players. So it's nice to see
every MLR players on that.
Yeah. And it's nice to see the differences, and you can break it down several different ways. You guys know me as a metrics guy. I'm really, you know, something that is a good look for us. You know, I think one of the other things is we haven't been on the forefront of transparency, and this is probably the most transparent we've been with the 15s. Right. So my next question is going to be, This I'll hit it with Rob first. Let's say we don't do well in PNC. Let's say we go into internationals next year. We continue this slide. If Scott Lawrence is no longer the head coach, is this vision still going to be the charge that we have, or do you think a new coach is going to come in here and change it?
I think a new coach is going to come in there and change it. You know, this is solely his vision. This is happening because Scott Lawrence is in place. I would have a totally different answer if it was Ross Young that had put this in place prior to leaving, or, you know, it was coming from the CEO, but it's not. It's coming. It's Scott's vision. It's what he wants. You know, if it was even the board of directors from USA Rugby that had put this together, or with the help of, you know, the head coach put this together, I would think it would be a document that would transcend, you know, multiple coaching staffs, but it's not. That being said, they would be wise to continue to follow through with it. And again, you know, I don't foresee Scott as having, you know, having those successive poor results. I think we're going to see ebbs and flows. You know, you're bound to see results that you know, you get disappointed about, but ultimately I think you got to look at those major benchmarks that are established in there to determine success. You got to give it time. You got to let this happen. I mean, when else have we been able to see our U18s and U20s playing abroad in a competitive international stage?
Exactly.
That's true.
And so I'll tell you when the last time was, when Scott Lawrence was with the U20s.
Yeah.
Right.
At the same tournament.
Yeah, I hear that. So, you know, looking at the U20s, obviously the Junior World Trophy is on the line. You know, where the U20s are looking good. We have the match against Kenya. We beat them. Move on to the semis, I think Trent mentioned.
Nope, final draw. So it seeds itself out. And the match to watch in that is actually Japan versus Scotland, both of whom are 2-0 on the other side and have been just blowing out Hong Kong and Samoa, like 115-0, just absurd scores. Those two play, I think, directly after the USA match. So if you're looking for something after, I think it's right after MLR Rising, you might be able to flip over and catch that. But I think, you know, realistically, the whole U20s thing, which could be this long thing we get into, but just very quickly, Scotland is hosting it. They chose to host it instead of going through the European qualifiers to get there. There's a lot of pressure on that U20 team to win. So this Japan match is going to be massive for Scotland because they're hosting it and because they're trying to get back to the U20 championship. The best part for the U.S. is they've got a match against Kenya, which they should be able to win, knock on wood. And then they go and they will play the winner effectively of the Japan-Scotland match. If that does happen to be Scotland, or Japan, whoever it is, they're going to be getting a team that is coming off of a game that could be a real brutal war. And so you really hope that U20 team has a chance to advance to the championship, which is part of Scott's vision of moonshot. He's put that specifically in there, that that in the next, I believe it's 3 years, the U20 team will progress out of the trophy stage, which is predominantly tier two teams, and be up in the championship playing against the tier one teams, such as the All Blacks and France and South Africa. So, you know, I love, in looking at the holistic vision, I think it's the absolute right vision. I think there's so many pieces that have been put in place, and he's done a fabulous job of putting those in place, getting players into the Anthem program who are young. A handful of these guys in the U20 program are coming from the Anthem. So the pathway is there, and he's building the roadmap. I'm hopeful that these next, say, 9 to 15 matches, we don't stumble badly enough that people question his vision, because what he's building is, the right holistic vision. But if we don't have some short-term success intermixed, then it's gonna make it tougher for his vision to continue to move forward with the powers that be. And let's be honest, the powers that be now are World Rugby. They're the ones that are really calling the shots on the USA from the standpoint that they're involved heavily in terms of how we progress as a nation, because they want to have a good product on the field that qualifies for this World Cup, but then also is somewhat competitive come the 2031 World Cup.
And I have to agree with you 100%, Trent. It's a great analysis. I would say this. So not just measure successes by the senior Eagles, but by other things that are built into this vision, right? But, you know, the one piece, and again, I don't want to get too much into the Romania match, but keep in mind that Romania match, the summer test series never favor the United States. Never favor the United States.
Nope.
Because the international calendar doesn't favor the United States. You know, and the fact that, okay, so we could back up the MLR season a month like we did last year, but we're still not getting the Eagles a proper training environment, training time, like the Romania had. I mean, I talked to the Romanian head coach. They had 4 weeks in camp prior to coming here. They were in the south of France training.
Yeah, they're
right.
So their season, their club season had ended, about 5 or 6 weeks ago.
So
this is true. That's true. But here's the one thing I wanna point out. I completely appreciate we are not Australia or South Africa or New Zealand, but that's exactly what they were doing about 5 years ago. When we used to have the June test series versus the July test series, they would play their club games. They would turn around and host a 3-game home test series, and then turn around and finish up the Super Rugby season before going into the Rugby Championship. That was the old calendar. And I'm not saying we're not New Zealand. I appreciate that. But I think we do have to get to the point where, you know, Scott was talking earlier about a semi-pro versus professional environment. At some point, we want to get to the level where we say, yeah, our guys are at a level where they should be able to jump out of their club, move directly into playing for the Eagles, and be successful on the pitch. Now, the number of tests we have hasn't been enough.
You have five teams, and you probably have about anywhere from 5 to 10 players from each team playing together in a high-performance environment for the better part of the season. Right. Yeah, you're not getting the entirety of the team together. And the same was true for Australia, too. They had four teams. So, you know, it's a much more compressed situation where you have a lot more players playing together. And it's no wonder that coaches used to actually pair up nines and tens that played together. You know, TJ Perenara playing with Bowden Barrett when they were both in the Hurricanes environment, putting, you know, Sam Whitelock and putting a lock pairing together, putting a front row that you know, a Waikato front row together, or at least, you know, your props together in that front row to get some cohesion, you know, on the back of that season. You know, let's not forget that you know, puts a little different spin on that, you know, the situation you've described.
All right, so let's get into the current roster for the Scotland match. So real quick, I'll give you the rundown. You know, just going by position, Jack Isicaro at one, Butcher, Trent Butcher at two. I just like busting your chops about it.
He's David 34. I love the guy. He's awesome. He's probably our best hooker on form right now. So
Definitely. Dave Anu at three, Valami Helu at four, Greg Peterson at five, Sam Gall at six, Patty Ryan at seven, Gemma Fanana Schultz at eight. By the way, Sam Gala and Jamma, I thought, probably played the best match out of all the guys there. Maybe I would say up there would also be Mitch. Mitch played very well too. But anyway, going back, J.P. Smith at 9, McGinty at 10, Nate Augsburger at 11, Tommaso Boni at 12, Davide Lapetti at 13, Connor Mooneyham making his debut at 14, Luke Cardi at 15, Capelli Pifoletti as your first sub, Jake Turnbull as your second, Paul Mullen as your third. Saya Alua making debut at Utah. Shout out to Trent wearing his Utah stuff. Benjamin Nasso. Ethan McVeigh also making his debut. Bryce Campbell and Mitch Wilson rounding out the 23. Shout out to Ethan McVeigh. He had a really good season with DC this year. Him and Connor Buckley were fighting for that position. And, you know, I think it just came down to who was healthier to make that squad. And I believe it was Ethan at this point in time. So, guys, let's talk about our starters. Let's talk about our bench. And what do you guys foresee going on with this match against Scotland?
I have a quick one I want to share with you because I found this interesting. 242 caps in your starting 15, 108 caps on the bench for a total of 350 caps. Scotland, 397 caps in their starters, 54 caps on the bench for a total of 451. So something for you to chew on. If you went back and looked, and I was betting on this last Scotland-USA match back in 2018 and had a nice score on it. I looked at those cap numbers going to that match, and Scotland was something like 108, and we were like close to 400, and that was why I bet it. So thought that was an interesting stat to share.
I think that's always something to look at, especially with what we're trying to do. But I also believe, you know, blooding some of these new guys is very important, like Connor Mooneyham and Ethan McVeigh, especially in the role they're going to play, especially McVeigh, you know, being a nine. So in my head, not too disappointed with the fact that it's going to bring the average down. But I do see that Scotland really is looking to make sure that 2018 doesn't happen again.
It's not a repeat.
You know, right? They don't want to repeat. They already had a shitty Six Nations tournament, and they've been in the press for a little bit. And I think they just want to make sure that they come back to their winning ways. And obviously, you know, putting a dagger through Canada recently has given them their ups, but you know, I think if you're going to look at the caps, you know, you have to look at Greg Peterson, you know, 43, you know, Nate 42, Bryce Campbell 45, you know, the older guys. But even some of the younger guys are starting to finally get their number there. You know, it's slow and steady, but I think we're finally on track to have a better average on our caps when we see these starting lineups.
And to be honest, this isn't 242 is a number just because I've tracked that over the last eight, nine years. That is a number that's kind of middle of the road for us, which is good. I was concerned we were going to be really low on the cap side. So to be honest, when I looked at it, I was quite happy with that number. And I think that does bode well for at least being competitive in this match.
I mean, something to keep your eye on, folks. And I'm not suggesting that the USA in 2031 is going to, you know, win a World Cup, but that 500 caps is the number that pretty much is the benchmark for teams that have any intent on winning a World Cup. That's the number of caps that they have to have in their, you know, between their starting 23. So, you know, I think Trent is looking at the right statistics, and we've got to keep our eye on that number as we work ourselves through moonshot. That being said, you know, a couple things strike me in this lineup. You have two very quality props. I think that Scott was, I'm not saving, but certainly he was holding back some props that he really felt can be competitive against Scotland. I think he brought in Helu for a little bit of size, Paddy Ryan, obviously, for the physicality. And I think he's looking for an X factor out of Mooneyham because he, you know, that kid is, has great footwork, he has great speed and pace, and he can bring the noise on defense as well. And Luke Cardi, I think he was looking at for somebody who just had the vision to put the ball in the right areas as a second kicking option to AJ. So I'm interested to see what this lineup can do, but let's not forget we're in caps, we're missing 67 caps out of this lineup, right? And that's Cam Dolan. I mean, one of our, what, he's number two or three. He might be tied for two now, on the most capped Eagles list, and he's still active and he's not playing, you know, injuries keeping him out, or at least he's, I think he's favoring, you know, being ready for that quarterfinal, MLR quarterfinal, you know, over getting, you know, these two caps. But he's not in the lineup right now and could figure into our fall, you know, our fall campaign a little bit more internationally speaking. So, you know, keep that in mind too. That there's a couple guys, McCarthy's not in there as well. And I think he's a difference maker, again, holding himself out.
I mean, real quick. So let's just say U20 guys are in, you know, in the next, by 2027, right? Let's just say they're all on the senior team for the sake of argument. So 27, so that's. Right. So let's just say they all play. Starting in 2027, well, 2028, 4 years. And if you look at the moonshot, and you're looking at the Gemini Project, they have 9 test matches for the senior team this year. So if you take that as 9 as their average, you don't want to go lower than that a year, right? Times 23 guys, if they all played, that's 828 caps. If all those guys from that are now on the U20 team were the starters for 2031. So just a little interesting doing crunching some of those numbers. But yeah, I think, you know, one of the other things is you look at Cam Dolan and Greg Peterson, and they're a little bit long in the tooth. You know, they're long in the tooth for 2027 if we had qualified for 2027, in my opinion. But I think
you can't teach size. There.
Well, that's the thing. You can't two things. You can't teach size. And those are the two guys that, again, quite like props, it's a unique position you're in when you're playing those lock positions. And you could definitely bring a guy on like Hilo when you have Cam Dolan not ready to play, right? And he says, you know, okay, I'm not gonna do this international set here. I'm gonna work on my recovery. You bring in a young gun to work with Peterson. The next rotation, you have your third guy is another young guy, so that way you can work in with him. And I think that's why they have those guys in there. So I'm not saying it's a detriment, but I think it's, you have to make sure they're working with the young guys now, so that way when they retire and then the young guys become the old guys, those right. are the guys that are going to be working at 28, 29, right. 30
right.
on the young guys for 31.
Right. You know, and let's so not forget one question. Like a Cam Dolan, the value that he brings. I mean, think about how often, and I know I watched a lot of Nola matches, but I think about how often he does something on the pitch that just, it's not physical, although there's a physicality to his game, a certain aspect of his game is physicality. It's the mental part of his game, like understanding the rules, understanding just that game experience.
When a ball is free and others might not realize it because they're trying to form their offense, we've seen exactly. that a bunch of times. But Trent, you said you had a question?
Well, a question for you two, which this is going to be going back in my mind. A great book, if you guys haven't read Graham Henry's book, talking about the transition from the 2000 and I think it was 2008 to 2011 World Cup, where they lost in 2007 to France. Right,
2007, and then, 2011.
And yeah. then they went to 2011 and New Zealand won. And he talked about the six-year run-up and having the team together for 6 years. I'm curious if you guys think that Scott is approaching this from the standpoint of, we know that qualification is important for 2027. So he's building a team right now that he thinks can get him qualified for the World Cup in the 2025 PNC. And then post-2025 PNC, we really do a turnover and potentially put together the 2031 or the makings of the 2031 squad. And that's the squad he starts to use as a six-year run-up. I'm just curious your thoughts on that, whether it's
I think that's exactly what you need to do, because that's exactly – and you can look at a more recent addition to – look at France and the Six Nations year before their World Cup, right? They were bleeding all the young players. They were getting their ass kicks in the Six Nations, and their fans were up in arms because they couldn't look past what was in front of them. What was in front of them was a World Cup in France, now a squad. And they only did a four-year run-up, but they did a four-year run-up and where, you know, the last 2 years of those Six Nations were murdering people and, you know, really giving people a run for their money to have that on home soil. I do truly believe we will need a 6-year run-up. I think you're right on the time. Like, I think that's exactly what his vision is and what's going
to
happen.
Well, and let's not forget, I think you have to have some modicum of success in 2027. So you have to qualify there. You know, you just have to qualify there in order to kind of have a measuring stick and gauge. You're going to be getting some of those really young guys experience in that Rugby World Cup environment. You know, what's it like to play in a country for, to be in country for, you know, a month, maybe more? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with all the external forces that are flooding upon a team? How do you deal with the mentality of that, you know, living and existing in that environment for 4 months or sorry for, excuse me.
But here's the thing.
So that's gotta happen.
I think you're not going to need that it won't be as big of a change for most people. Cause look at what our buddy Dave Fee is already doing with the U18s. They're already doing that and going South America and having these month long tours, and they're breaking up Falcons teams and having, you know, 3-week tours. My point being is if they continue with that vision, that transition to go to a different, you know, country for a month used to be a big deal for us. I don't think it will be as big of a deal going into 2027 as it used to be.
No, you're right. And that's why Scott emphasizes that we have to fund and support those U20s. Remember what he said is it takes $16,000 to prep and prepare one of these young kids in order to play internationally, right? And that's why he's emphasized the importance of continuing to fund the U18s and the U20s so that they get experiences like they're getting. And the fact that our U18s are down in South America right now, right? They're down in South America, you know, getting that opportunity to play in a shitty environment where it's,
Uruguay?
Yeah.
Uruguay.
In a shitty environment where, you know, Fia's told me stories about having batteries thrown at him in Mexico City or whatnot.
Yeah, but that's just because he's a bad guy. That was a personal. He probably owes somebody money. I'm joking.
That's right. But the point being is that, you know, those kids play in those tough environments, which are your qualifying environments, by the way, right? You've got to qualify out of this America's won. So, you know, get these kids playing in those environments so that they're used to playing in that high intensity situation. And that way, when the real payday comes, they're able to exist and thrive and be successful.
So let me wrap up because Rob made a good point about funding the team. So let me wrap up by saying this. If you go to moonshot.rugby/fuel-the-mission, you can sign up and figure out how to donate. You know, the money will go to build and fund pathways to drive Eagles pipelines, develop and fully fund the U18s and U20s to compete internationally and down South America. Let's get a slush fund for our buddy David Fee for that U18 team so they don't have to worry about trying to get kits locally. It was a whole mess for him, but he got it straightened out. Create and fully fund a U.S. National Academy for the U23s and fuel and fund the Eagles, men's Eagles 15. So, again, if you go to moonshot.rugby/fuel-the-mission, you can donate today, help fund those teams. Guys, I think we're all in the same boat as far as we think. You know, Moonshot 2031 is a good process. It's transparent. It's giving goals that aren't super short term, goals that we want to accomplish coming into the Rugby World Cup, coming into the United States. I think we'll always yearn for more detail. You know what I mean? I think that's just we get so much detail with all the other sports. You know, I mean, football, we're knowing if a guy farts, you know, in practice and tweaks his back. You know, so I mean, I think until we can get rugby to that space in America, we're never going to get that insider track that we get as normal fans. But this is very promising. It's the most transparent we've seen, especially from a head coach, to put it out there on a website and say, this is our vision and this is what we're looking to do and this is what we've done and this is what next and this is how much money we need, so give it to us. So guys, I think we can all agree that we're on board for this shuttle run for Moonshot 2031, correct?
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So guys, I think we pretty much did well on this one. You know, it's for coming out and not really knowing it was going to be presented you know, during the internationals. One, I think it was great do it now because we're looking at the Eagles, you know, and not mixing it up with an MLR week. But two, again, just to get some detail and to get us talking about it and to get us excited about the upcoming. So, guys, I really appreciate you, Trent, coming back on the show. We love having you. Rob, whatever. I see you all the time.
Apparently, I should have my child's face in front of me.
Oh, yeah? Is that which one? You know,
like cut out of my
child. Oh, Preston? Yeah, just fucking, you know, you stole my Romania jersey. It's a whole thing. No, but no, you did really good with the appreciate you being out there at SeatGeek, giving us a lot of live content and stuff. I'm going to be doing more of the fan experience. You know, Rob has a hand at SeatGeek to kind of just walk around the stadium because he works there. I don't have that at Audi Field. So I have a feeling with my press credential, I won't be able to go on the field and get an interview like Rob did. But I'm going to give you more of the fan experience side.
Listen, and the Rugby, you know, Rant podcast credentials get you anywhere in the rugby world, my man.
Yeah, okay.
Don't forget that.
Still haven't received my email about where I'm supposed to pick up my credential. We're only 2 days out.
For two shows now, do I get mine in the mail? Are they being sent to me?
Yours are definitely
in the mail. Yes, we're working. Yeah, we're working with your agent to figure out your contract. You know, 32 hours a week to get PTO. But anyway, guys, really appreciate you coming on. I think 180 is done and dusted. And we'll see you guys at the next.
All right, brother. Yeah. We'll see you, boys. Thanks, Trent.
Thanks, guys. Always on.
Feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.